Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and my very special guest tonight, which is the topic and the issue at hand, which is love. Tonight, I will be talking about love. I will have the honor and the gift of receiving love's statements of truth, not only from the universe and other light beings, but also from my own personal experience. And we're going to be talking about love tonight on every level that it exists, a creation, on love regarding science, regarding health, love on regarding spiritual, physical, mental, emotional issues, the balance of all that is and how love plays into that, planetary alignment in regards to love, molecular structure in regards to love, mass consciousness, individualized consciousness, and what the mind retains and what the soul sustains. Those are all issues that, if you can imagine, one consciousness holding thought and a relationship to not only all those that I've shared, but so much more, would we not think that love would have something to say about all of that? I do, and so I'm going to be sharing those thoughts with you today. But I'm delighted to have you with me this evening. This show is all about listener participation. I'd love to hear your questions and comments during the second part of the show. And there is a toll-free number. It is 888-815-9756. Once again, 888-815-9756. And I would just invite everyone to use that number to call in. It does apply to U.S. and Canada. However, it is not international. But feel free, with your own experiences of love, to share, or if love happens to tap on your mind, your heart, or your soul during the show with a statement that you can't contain, then feel free to share it, and we will all embrace it together. Now, love is an equation of creation. It's the building blocks of our DNA ladder, the energy and the essence of matter and substance, before the manifestation of our physical selves and surroundings. There is a conversation and exchange of communication rooted in the recognition and agreement of love and light to collaborate together as mass intention. The result, your body's makeup, to serve you and others in your chosen life and chapter in your journey. And basically what that means is within the womb of the mother, and within that womb there is a divine communication, a divine orchestration of events. And there is a communication based on the love connection. Love is vibration. It is magnetic. It is energy. It is electrical. It is part of the substance of all that is. And so for it to begin, I'm talking about our human bodies at this point, for it to begin in the womb of Mother Earth, there is a collaboration, if you can imagine, the great mystery involved and the great, unbelievable sacredness involved, of course, not only in creating a life, but in giving life, that the cells in the DNA are communicating with the soul contract of that soul in the opportunity to create a body of mass and form that when you're born in this lifetime, whether you're male, female, how tall you are, what you'll look like, what you'll sound like, how you'll carry yourself in this world, all of that is being read literally by the science and the equation of creation, which equals the vibration, the sacred geometry, really the building blocks of love. Love is an agreement between spirit and matter to create the function of form. And so when you are in there, there is this beautiful and incredible, I believe it to be, dialogue that creates your body. I want to share with people that the imprint of nature is also, this relationship to love is happening not only with human beings, but it's happening all over the earth with all other beings of all different forms. That this relationship of love exists in the core and in the depths of Mother Earth, in her layers all the way to the core. So much so, this relationship of love between Mother Earth's core, her layers, and the beautiful nature that grows out of that love to represent divine, perfect love, whole and complete, which would be grass and flowers and beautiful trees, and the landscape, I truly believe, of perfection of nature has to do with a love that is in balance and that really exhibits a tremendous amount of trust. And that is why the seasons are in balance, and that's why there's a rhythm of life to those seasons. And that is all about the harmony and alignment of the relationship of love to the relationship of all form. Like, for instance, a flower or even a seed at one time, maybe 5 years ago, that produced a beautiful flower, when that flower died, that imprint of that birth, of that appreciation, of the flower's ability to represent the equation of creation from the core and bring forth its beauty, that it's represented to the Sky Nation and also to Mother Earth, it doesn't have to be planted again. How many of us have been really moved by seeing that in our garden, or in anyone else's garden for that matter, that something has sprouted up and it is either revealing itself for the first time or that it's returned? And that's what I'm talking about, is the beauty of the imprint of love that is constant and that is always communicating with its environment. There is such a sacred and unending depth of relationship between the elements, between earth, fire, water, wind, the Sky Nation, even planetary harmony. The alignments of the planets are in agreement to align together. Based on what? What agreement is that based on? The contemplation, I invite everyone, only if it resonates, of course, to do so, is that even planetary harmony must be based on the balance of the ability to even create balance. And where is that equation coming from? It's coming from divine love. It's coming from the agreement for the planetary harmony to align not only to itself but other planets in a way that creates the opportunity for love to flow, to be given life to, and also to flourish. And not only on our planet, but throughout the cosmos and most definitely multi-dimensions. So love, the other thing, is that it's not just spoken or understood by humanity. In fact, we might be way in the back of the line to understanding the intricacies and the subtle nuances and the unending relationship of love to all things and all form. And that planetary harmony and alignment is based on the sacred agreement to preserve, to illuminate, to assist, and I'm talking about planetary alignment right now, that each planet in its own hemisphere and its own makeup has to have, maybe we can contemplate it as the foundational building blocks of a love that is supportive, it is giving, it recognizes, it creates balance, and it is at all times striving to return to balance when everything around it might be in chaos. So love is also a being, if you will, that is in constant, always in constant opportunity to return to itself in balance. And that is in all things. I have a story to share. I have the honor of witnessing how the energy, vibration, and magnetic core of love transformed the person in front of me. A client had arrived. He was male, and he was covered in a crust of fear. When I say covered in a crust of fear, I mean literally as I looked at this person, because I can see energy, energy bodies, etc., I could see that his light body was not illuminated but crusted over, and that some of the crust around his body had been there longer, and that there was new crust being born and created over that. So it was a very loud statement coming from him. He was drained of color. He sat before me as I communicated telepathically to his light body. There was but a whisper of response from him, really from his mind, that I heard. And what I heard him say to me telepathically or in his mental body was, "Love does not live here." I heard his mind tell me that. And it was not a shock or a surprise, because to see the way he was encased in this encrusted fear, that he was almost immovable, there was no light behind his eyes. That I heard that, I understood more. You know, I looked into his eyes, and they spoke of longing for the warmth of love, which seemed to be a distant memory for him. And when I asked for that energy to reveal to me, because often while I'm doing readings, I'm communicating on multidimensional levels about what is being revealed, to only get more clarity and detail for the person whom I'm given the honor to sit with. And so when I asked and looked into his eyes, I was shown that all the way back into his childhood is what spoke aloud to me. And when I saw that the energy reversed backwards into the childhood, I said in my intuition and in my telepathic voice, not out loud, who can be of service right now for this individual? Who would like to step forth and assist? Well, right there with that question, stepped forth his father. And I know that it was his father, because upon him stepping forth telepathically, I inquired, "Who might you be?" And he said, "I am his father." And he stood there, and it was amazing to me, and I don't remember readings usually, but this one stayed with me because it was about love, my favorite subject in the world, and it was also so moving to me to witness this. But he stood behind his son, and I looked into his eyes, not his father's eyes, but now his eyes, and I said to you, or said to him, "Your father wishes to know, for you to know that he is here." And he just looked at me, and tears, literally tears, started to run down his face. I mean, he had not yet physically spoken to me, but tears started running down his face. And he whispered through his tears, "I want to feel my father. I want to feel my father's presence here." It was like his longing for that was so much, so big that he had to whisper it. Otherwise, the windows would crack because he was yelling from the inside out. And I looked at his father, clearly knowing his father had heard him. And just at that moment, these tears are rolling down his cheeks, his father placed one hand on one shoulder and then the other hand on his other son's shoulder, and he stood there with his hands. He stood behind his son was sitting down, with his hands on his father's shoulder. And I said, "Close your eyes and breathe into your heart. Breathe into your heart." And his father, with tremendous concentration and with his son's will to allow this to take place, began breathing in his father's breath. And when he began breathing deep within his father's breath, right before my eyes, this crust around his son literally started to break up. It started separating, and this light started coming forth from behind the cracks in this crust. And his son, I'll never forget it, his son started saying, his eyes were still closed, tears were rolling down his face even stronger, I can feel you. I can feel you. And he was saying it from a place where they had left off in his childhood. And as I stood there, clearly knowing that I was witnessing one of the most moving and incredible experiences, and I've had many that I could be a witness to, that this was a miracle. But more importantly, the power of love to transform, the power of love to break through any substance, the power of love to create universes, the power of love to restore cells in the body to their perfection is really what I witnessed. And he ended up continuing to cry. He ended up horrible weight upon him in regards to that crusted over feeling. Just all of those pieces just fell off. They just fell off, and they were transmuted, of course, into the light. And his cheeks were red and rosy, the sun, and his eyes were lit up, and he spoke to his father, and they had a dialogue back and forth, which I assisted. But he leaned forward towards me, and he said that moment that he decided to pick up the phone, and this is not about me, it's about, he picked up the phone to himself. He picked up the phone to his spirit. He picked up the phone to his heart to call. And when he did, he told me that was his last-ditch effort to life, and that he was planning, if there had not been a connection for him, and certainly there had been one way beyond his expectation, but certainly of his soul's knowing of what was possible, that he was going to kill himself that day. And so not only did his father show up, but more importantly, he showed up for that sliver of possibility and opportunity. And he, with his universal law of free will, gave himself permission to have that experience. And I was changed by it forever, knowing that with love, not just humanistic love, higher love, divine love, animal kingdom love, universal love, planetary alignment love, that with love, the scientific equation of such, that even saying, I choose love in the face of something that is reflecting outside of love can bring you peace and can transform your internal and external environments. Now, the people in your environments, regardless if it's work, family, health, or wealth, you don't have power over others. However, if you choose love in the face of something that has forgotten love or is withholding love, and you hold that love within you, the possibility that universal law of free will of the people around you, of the atmosphere around you, of the environment around you, that they will unknowingly be magnetically drawn to what is possible, because I believe love represents what is possible, not what is impossible. In fact, today I was driving and I saw a billboard that said the word impossible. And it struck me so strong that the word impossible includes the two words, I'm possible. Now that for anybody else maybe has been a knowing, but for me, I was elated and said, my gosh, the word impossible holds the message, I'm possible, if you break it up, clearly. If you break up the words, actually. But there is no breaking up or separating it at all. It's so divinely orchestrated that the words we have co-created, like the word fear, false energy appearing real, that they actually reveal their authenticity and what they're really saying if you shift your focus, that what is impossible is not, and that everything is possible, and that fear itself reveals that it is false. It's all extremely fascinating. Now, I want to share with everybody that there is, I'm sure everyone's heard of this individual, and if you haven't, I really invite you to look into what it is that he is doing, because I support it completely and I believe in it, and it's Dr. Emoto. He works with the response of water to thoughts, words, and pictures. That water crystals are formed in relationship to, and I have to say, everyone, I knew he was doing experiments with water in relationship to thoughts or words, like taking a glass of water and putting a word on it, like anger, versus a glass of water, putting the word on it, love, and then looking at the water crystals after some time, and that the water crystals inside the glass that said anger were all distorted and broken up. The water crystals inside the glass that said love were perfect, whole, and complete water crystals, not unlike snowflakes. Their intricacy, their most fragile places, held together and gorgeous. I knew he was doing that, but today Spirit shared with me that he's also now taken pictures in their, like pictures of a cherry blossom, as an example, and place them in the water. And that once the water relates to the literal picture of the cherry blossom, it held a perfect, whole and complete water crystal. I mean, think about that for a moment. We are made up primarily of water. The earth is covered primarily of water. Think about the possibilities that to change the water crystals inside a glass to represent the perfection of love, the word love, what you can do to your body of work, not only your health, but any situation of lack in your life. When you willingly communicate not only with the lack, not in a lack way, but you invite and introduce lack to love. And then you allow yourself to communicate with all lack in your life, by choosing even the simplicity of saying, I choose love in the place of this lack. It's amazing. You know, Dr. Emoto and many of his readers believe that water holds the potential to create peace on earth. By holding the intention of peace towards water, by thinking, speaking, and acting with intention of peace and love towards water, towards liquid, it can bring peace to our bodies and to the world. And I agree. I completely agree in that transformation. Check it out, his information out. It's at emotoproject.org. And he's working on a peace project, and it'll tell you all about it. But when I had the experience of this client whose makeup started to break up, his shell, and this light started to emerge because he started breathing the love from his father as his own breath. That aligned also to Dr. Emoto's message that anything is possible when we align to the positive and stop empowering the negative. You know, influence of love in your internal and external environments is what I invite everyone to really think about. What represents love in your home? What represents love in your car, in your workspace? Do you have love present? Or are you holding love hostage to only be represented in your life through another person or outside of yourself? Or have you invited love in to dwell within you, knowing that it will only attract to you all versions of what's possible in your life regarding love? So I invite everyone to really contemplate it, if it resonates, to bring love into your workspace through decorating. You can have pictures, you can have statements, cut out paragraphs that surround you with the reminder, and when you connect with that reminder, whether it's a photo, whether it's a thought, whether it is a spoken thought in your office, in your home, in your car, and really, who can say that they've had too much love? that, well, I'll have it in my home, but I'm really not going to put it in my car. Why not? Let love be represented around you. Let yourself wear love and experience love as though you're not in waiting for it, but you've already invited it in, and you are sitting with it, you are having tea, and wherever you look, your environment reminds you that that sacred dialogue is always happening, whether you are tuning in or not. It is happening within you, and it is happening to all the relationships around you. And I'm not saying that you are necessarily speaking about love with your coworkers. I'm talking about the language of love is a feeling language. It is an energy language. And that where that exists, that conversation, that divine dialogue is happening at all times. Now, there are so many messages coming through from masters and spirit beings and angelic beings and the nature spirits and fairies. Let me tell you, they all want to speak on love. And of course, why wouldn't they? Because they too have infinite wisdom and possibly more trust and have experienced the ability that love has to transform. You know, Rumi writes ecstatic poetry, love poems. He is my favorite poet on the face of the earth. And he spoke about ecstatic love poems, about lover and beloved, as well as lover and beloved, as well as beloved and lover. He was in touch with lover and beloved being the same, and both as being one. As an example, one of his poems that really speaks to that, I think, is "The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you. Not knowing how blind that was, lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along." Oh, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful, and it speaks so much to not only his understanding of love, but also I have to say that he had an understanding of that love existed or exists, for he does continue, energy doesn't die, it only transforms, that love exists in light and shadow. One illuminates the actual birth, the other, the birth canal towards the light. Think about that for a second. In your life, we have all, as divine human beings, experienced being illuminated and in the light, however you would define that, in one degree or another, but we've also experienced being in the dark, in the birth canal, moving towards the light. Rumi wrote, "Shadow and light, source both." And what he said in his poem is, how does a part of the world leave the world? How does wetness leave the water? Don't try to put out fire by throwing on more fire. Don't wash a wound with blood. No matter how fast you run, your shadow keeps up. Sometimes it's in front. Only full overhead sun diminishes your shadow. But that shadow has been serving you. It blesses you. Darkness is your candle, because when you are in that, you are seeking light. Your boundaries are your quest. I could explain this, he says, but it will break the glass cover on your heart, and there's no fixing that. You must have shadow and light, source, both. Listen and lay your head under the tree of awe. When, from that tree, feathers and wings sprout on you, be quieter than a dove. Don't even open your mouth for even a coo. Again, he takes my breath away. So much so, to the degree that I can not only hear his poetry, I can see it, I can feel it, and understand it at a depth that, I have to say, his ecstatic version of all of this makes me ecstatic. So, thank you, Rumi. Bless you and thank you. With that said, I would invite everyone to relate to how when we relate to something in love, it's an opening. When we sometimes relate to something in negativity, it closes. And that is your relationship to all forms of life. One contracts, the other expands. So right now in your life, wherever you are in your journey, if there's a place where you are feeling contracted, where you are feeling fear or anger, where you are feeling a fight or a flight, I invite you to call upon or to look into poetry of Rumi or anything that inspires you in regards to love and invite the feeling of that love, not necessarily just the thought, but the feeling of that love to open you to the possibilities of the fact that you might feel anger and you might be in the dark, but you are in movement. You are in the birth canal and you are moving towards the light. And if you want to quicken that process or have some peace while in it, call upon the expansion of love and it will dwell within you if you allow it to. Now, why do we seek love out? Why do we seek love out? As human beings, most especially, we are always in seeking of love, aren't we, in one form or another? But we're either in love and we are expanding to the size of the universe and the galaxy with love, and we are talking about it and sharing it, or we are looking for love, and love is the topic that we are waiting for it to manifest. But often, I would say often than not, love is a topic that we are constantly seeking out. And that is, I believe, because that's where we came from. Because as a child, as a newborn, you are not separate from love. You've just come from love. You were created from love, connected. You are drawn to light and love before you are taught to react and relate to imbalance or an energy or an emotion outside of love. Why do children seek out light or react to love? And it's not even, everybody out there, have you ever seen a child that doesn't know somebody, but they run towards that person and they're smiling regardless of their age? Well, clearly old enough to run, but they're smiling and they're filled with love, and they embrace this stranger, or they point to the stranger, or they reach out to this quote-unquote stranger. That is because it is familiar. They are experiencing in that particular person the familiarity of love. That person might be holding love, in love, okay with love, trusting of love. So that person reflects to that child a familiarity of where they reside. Also the opposite, not only children, but animals, and clearly, definitely adults, we are repelled oftentimes by an energy, a place, a dwelling, or a room, or an individual that is maybe not holding love. Maybe something traumatic has happened. Maybe they're in grief. Maybe they're in lack. Maybe they're in fear and anger. If you, and I know most people have had this, if you see that, your first reaction is to protect yourself. It doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel secure. Oftentimes, love can transmute that, but it has to be your universal law of free will to even move towards the desire to create that. But think about your animals, how they're drawn to a certain place or person, and how they're repelled by others. I'm not saying that if somebody is repelled by an animal or a child, they are not holding love. I'm saying that why do we seek love out is in relationship to a newborn and a animal that communicates from love, receives love, transmutes love, etc., that is the universal language, love. And that if you don't have a voice, and your voice is a reaction, maybe to be witnessed by others, then pay attention to the reaction of others. Are they drawn towards something, or are they repelled away from it? And all that really means is if somebody is outside of love, if they're not holding love within them and their environment, then they just need more love offered to them. So I invite you to go out in your day, and if you run into somebody known or unknown who is not holding love or who is in a bad place, to share your, it can be an internal thought or an external one. It can be a quote that inspires you, or you can just send a quiet thought from your intention to this person known or unknown to you, that they will return to, once they've moved through their rite of passage, they will return to a place of knowing that first they are love, and then everything else after that unfolds. So with that said, you know, love is, you know, in this day and age, we are finally coming to a point where scientists are saying, well, energy is real and it exists. We're coming to a point where doctors are saying your thoughts affect your health. We're coming to a point of a lot of awakening, and a lot of our daily dialogue is changing. It's changing to take in more of a universal aspect in some degrees, clearly in other degrees, what needs to be cleared out, what is false, and what is imbalanced is really also out there in a big way as well to be transmuted. So what is in hiding must come forth, and that is happening. So with that said, you know, your body's physical health can be transformed by you. It can be transformed by you. It will not take, let's say somebody has a buildup of 20 years of stress, or 20 years, 20 hours of stress even, can affect the body, because the stress causes a fight or flight reaction. It also causes the cells to not be in a relaxed state of feeling trust and feeling that everything's going to be okay, so we will hold our perfect form. But instead there's panic, and that panic runs through the electrical system, the bloodstream, all parts of the body, and the body responds oftentimes by breaking itself up to offer the human being what it needs in that adrenaline mode, while the other parts sustain with less. However, science, medicine, health, the body's balance, all of that is connected to, I am going to say it again, and for those of you who are going, does she have to say the word love again? I do. Sorry. That the vibration and the energy of love, that it started in the equation and the mass of your creation in the womb, that it has the ability to return there. It has the ability after 20 minutes, 20 years, to return and remember everything that its perfection held upon you being created. And it's simplistic, meaning that the invitation to everyone is that daily, more often the better, that you allow your focus to not be on what's not happening, how bad your health is, how much discomfort you're in, etc., because what we focus on, we grow. What we focus on, we give permission for it to be invited into our lives, and we end up attracting more of that. So the invitation is, clearly there are issues that need to be focused on in life in general, but focus upon them, then let them go, and then choose to focus upon where you would like to reside while the journey of change is happening for yourself or another. Where are you going to reside? Are you going to reside in holding your breath until that focus of your health or somebody in your life, until their issue is resolved? Where are you going to reside within you? In panic, holding the thought of what will happen if this isn't chosen by me or another? Focus on what you need to when it's in balance, and then choose where you're going to reside for the journey, and choose to reside in love, which is higher love, humanistic love, love of any kind, is all-knowing in its capacity to do one thing for you, if nothing else, to offer you peace and serenity in the moment you're focusing on it. So I invite everyone to really daily focus on the areas, known or unknown to you, that you are struggling with, and really allow yourself to focus on that, apply whatever it is you want to apply, whether you need to speak your truth to someone or whether you need to make a change, then let go. Allow that energy that you've put out into the universe to begin to manifest and co-create with you while you choose to focus on something else. Now, earlier I said what the mind retains, what the soul sustains. And the only difference with that is love versus fear. Oftentimes you will feel fear, you will feel lack, you will feel a lot in your human emotion, emotional body, and it will all be your physical body, your mental body, and it will all be translated in the mental body, so to speak, through the understanding and the expression of fear. What the mind retains. However, what the soul sustains can override, cleanse, purify, and clear what the mind was stuck on. You know, it's like a record skipping over and over. There's an immediate reaction from most to run over and lift the needle and allow the rest of the music to play. So I invite everyone, if it resonates, to think about how can I allow the music of my soul, so it would be the part of you that maybe you are not consciously aware on a mental level, that your consciousness is not connected nor giving yourself permission yet to say, my soul has the infinite wisdom and the knowing, and my mind doesn't even need to know. I just need to allow that energy to surface with my mental body and to transmute the fear. And then pick up the needle, you've just done that, and allow the rest of the song to be played. And that means your mind is not the focus, but you have just lifted the repetitive skip, and you've allowed your soul to interject in the mind, and you will find yourself, in fact, I invite everyone, when you're doing that, to just let go and trust, call upon love, call upon whatever feels like to you personally as an energy, a word, or a substance, or a vision that represents the outcome of choice, and then allow your soul to deliver that to your mind. You will experience a lot of change. Some will experience it immediately, and some will experience it more long-term. However, you will experience it. I'm back to Rumi now. Never left him. He wrote a poem called The Seed Market, and I want to read that to everyone. Can you find another market like this where, with one rose, you can buy hundreds of rose gardens? Where, for one seed, get a whole wilderness? For one weak breath, a divine wind. You've been fearful of being absorbed in the ground or drawn up by the air. Now, your water bead lets go and drops into the ocean, where it came from. It no longer has the form it had, but it's still water. The essence is the same. This giving up is not a repenting. It's a deep honoring of yourself. When the ocean comes to you as a lover, marry at once. And then he writes, quickly, for God's sake. Don't postpone it. Existence has no better gift. No amount of searching will find this. A perfect falcon, for no reason, has landed on your shoulder and become yours. Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. So again, Rumi talked about in his poetry how the moment, the magic is in the moment. And I have to say, there is no stronger emotion that I have witnessed or experienced myself than love and the expression of love, regardless of what that expression is in the moment, to bring a person or people into that very thing, that exact moment, to be fully and completely present. You know, there is a Zen master, Thich Nhat Hanh, and he said something very profound, I felt. In fact, I ran across it today. He said, the most precious gift we can offer others is our presence. When mindfulness embraces those we love, they bloom like flowers. And I so agree with that. I think I'm also addressing love's presence. That if one or more people meet in the presence of love, that the world can be altered. Now, of course, there are many renditions to love. Some we agree with and some we don't. But I'm talking about governing yourself. I'm talking about aligning with your own internal temple in order to change the external world. I'm not talking about our focus being somewhere else and watching that other place that we think they're defining love incorrectly, that it needs to change in order for me to feel peace and safety and love within my world. I'm inviting you to alter the landscape of humanity, to alter the landscape of your body, of your mind, and of your emotion, and of your relationships. And I'm offering you the invitation to do that by resting and beginning your day in the core of love, where you came from, where you will return to, but to fall back into love with yourself and to allow that love again to be represented wherever you look, that it be a constant reminder to you that you become a member once again with that family of love, of your family of spirit that loves and adores you and is a guiding light at all times, that you do that by checking in, not to someone else's expression of love on the other side of the world or wherever you are, to make sure that they've got it right, quote unquote, but to check in within you, is that relationship one that is nurturing within you, that you offer it to yourself, and that when you look in the mirror, you see the eyes of God looking back at you, not looking at what's undone yet, not looking at what needs to be fixed by you, but looking at the perfection that you simply are and the magnificence of that. And that alone is enough to celebrate. That alone is enough to give you the inspiration and the emotional, mental, and personal vitality, if you allow yourself to revisit that place more than once or only when someone offers it to you, but that you create an intimate relationship with love, scientific, with your garden, with nature, with the animal kingdom, but most importantly, start with yourself first, that love dwells within me. That you feel the warmth of it and that you allow that warmth to spread through all of the layers that you exist in, out through all of your etheric bodies and then out through the universe, that every human being is just that expansive. And that if you allow yourselves to experience that and make it your own, you will feel an empowerment that far surpasses the greatest burden that you might be carrying in your life. It's not that the burden will no longer be there, but you will feel the power within not over, not power over, but within, to deal with whatever is on your plate, and to deal with it in a way that does not harm you, but in a way that you can affect what's on your plate and also move through the birth canal into the light. But that is not only possible, but it is how, literally, the seasons and the rhythms of life, of earth and of nature, communicate at all times. And that is in perfect balance, in peace and knowing that there is no wrongdoing for that flower to return to the place where it was first given birth to represent that love dwelled there. And that within that love, that was possible. I have had such a good time. I thank everybody for tuning in. I have felt your presence. I am deeply grateful for this opportunity to shine light and illuminate not only my experience, but others, and to hear from masters and to hear from love itself and be able to share that with everyone. I love all the special guests that I have on my show, and that includes love itself, does it not? Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, you can reach me at cynsam999@gmail.com. Also, you can call me at 503-347-6766. Tune in 2 weeks from now. We'll have another spectacular guest, I'm sure, and whether it's a subject matter or an incredible human being, I invite you to tune in. And as always, this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.